Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Matt Boyle joins us to recap the latest happening out of Congress and Senator Josh Hawley. We talk about the NCAA. We talk about pay for play. And we also talk about Biden's request for more money for the Middle East. And finally, we do a recap of the professors teaching your kids or grandkids on campuses. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. Get involved, as always, with our movement all across the country. I think you'll love it. The most important movement that is impacting America, tpusa.com. Become a member. Join the Charlie Kirk members team at charliekirk.com. Listen to all of our content. Advertiser-free, charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Matt Boyle from Breitbart.com. Matt, thank you for taking time here. Matt, you covered this congressional stuff very closely, and you've been tracking it. Walk us through the last couple of weeks from motion to vacate to where we are now, Matt Boyle.
Yeah, look, we just had the third ballot earlier this morning and earlier today, and Jordan fell short again. 25 intransigent Republicans refused to vote for him. We have a list of those up on Breitbart.com so people can go see if their member of Congress is one of the intransigent Republicans who are doing this. This was the third speaker vote for Jordan. The where this all started was now almost 3 weeks ago. Eight Republicans led by Matt Gaetz of Florida did what's called a motion to vacate the chair. They voted with all of the Democrats in Congress to remove McCarthy from the speaker's chair. After that happened, then the House Republicans had first rallied around Steve Scalise, the House Majority Leader, but Steve Scalise only got 110 voting members of the House of Representatives to back him in conference, which is less than a majority. You'll see the number 113 out there, but that's because three of those votes that he got in conference were from members from the delegates from the territories. So they don't get to vote on the floor. So Scalise's path was pretty much over as the second he won the conference nomination. Once Scalise withdrew from the race shifted back to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is now and has been for a week now the speaker designate of the Republican conference. So he's the official nominee of the Republican conference for speaker, and he's gotten close, right? So he's his first vote on the floor earlier this week, he got 200 votes. After that, one member flipped back his way, and another member who was absent is back and voting for him again. But he hasn't been able to break these remaining holdouts. And the thing that is abundantly clear about these people that are holding out about against Jim Jordan is many of them are on the Appropriations Committee. So many of them, seven of them, actually, including the chairwoman of the Appropriations Committee, Kay Granger from Texas. Now, Kay Granger from Texas, I'm told by House Republican aides, is like the Republican Joe Biden. She's so far gone mentally. She's not with it. And so she's the one leading the charge here. You also have John Rutherford on the Appropriations Committee. He represents the district here in Northeast Florida. You have Tony Gonzalez from Texas on the Appropriations Committee, Jake Elzey from Texas on the Appropriations Committee, Steve Womack from Arkansas on the Appropriations Committee. So one thing that's clear is that it's the big government, big spending Republicans who are doing this, because there's a government funding deadline coming up on November 17th, the deal that led the original eight to go after McCarthy and move to remove him from the speaker's chair, funded the government for 45 days. And they motioned to vacate the chair just a couple of days after that. That funded the government till November 17th. And now with the government funding deadline looming, these appropriator, big government, big spending Republicans, establishment rhinos are in the way of Jordan and continuing their intransigence.
Yeah. So what is the path forward then, Matt? Let's just talk strategically, right? We want Jim Jordan to become speaker. What, if anything, can make these 24, as you call them, and that's not a word I use every day, intransigence, right? That's quite a word, which means unwilling to move, for all of you vocab majors out there. What, if anything, can be done? It does not look like the pressure campaign is working. Matt Boyle.
Well, look, I think that they're very willing to wheel and deal. I know they say they aren't, but the fact of the matter is that there's two ways out of this. I don't think there's any other member of the Republican conference at this point who could be able to get 217 votes, and they'll need to get 218 when a special election is over in Utah next month, right? So there's a special election coming up there. The fact is that I don't think that anyone else could get there. So there's two ways out. Either they figure out a way to get there and vote for Jordan, or we're going to end up with a deal with the Democrats, and the big government Republicans are going to finally go be the swamp monsters that they always say they are. And I think that it's a great clarifying moment. I think either outcome is great for Americans. Americans are learning. We're seeing the hood lifted here. We're seeing how these awful people actually work. Look, Charlie, you know this because you have the good ones come to the Turning Point conferences, right? Like the fact is that there's, you know, people out there generally know maybe 15, 20 members of Congress, the ones who are on TV all the time, the ones who go to your conferences, right? The ones who come on Breitbart all the time, right? Like, but there's a lot of these really, really bad establishment politicians in the Republican conference in both the House and the Senate. The House is a little better than the Senate because the elections are every 2 years. So we've been getting rid of the bad ones and bringing in the good ones. But the fact is that I think this is exposing them all, right? Like, so I think this is a great moment for the country in that we're getting to see a look underneath the hood and into the, you know, look, their guts are showing, right? The intestine, the gastrointestinal tract of the awful place that is Congress.
I don't mean to interrupt, Matt, but do you think the moderates are feeling the heat? I'm not seeing evidence of that yet, that they're starting to – okay, so walk us through that, because maybe they're just playing a game.
They're complaining about – you see this constantly happening now, like where they're all complaining about they're getting quote-unquote death threats. Look, they're not getting death threats. I haven't seen actual evidence of an actual death threat, and obviously that would be bad if they are. I think what's happening is people are calling their members of Congress, and they're freaking out, right? Like, so, like, look, here's the deal. If this was conservatives voting against an establishment person that was the conference nominee, you would see people calling for their committee chairs, right? Like, in calling for their committee assignments and calling to strip them off of committees. They did this. John Boehner did it to conservatives. He did it to Mark Meadows, etc. I'm seeing calls. Congressman Jim Banks, for instance, from Indiana, who's fantastic and is the likely senator from Indiana, is calling for Kay Granger, the leader of this. She's the chair of the Appropriations Committee, to lose her gavel as the Appropriations Committee chair. And people are beginning to pressure whoever the next speaker will be. And I think that it will be Jim Jordan. I think he's going to figure out a way through this and power through it. Look, here's the deal. Kevin McCarthy went through 15 ballots. We've only been through three right now. We got plenty of time here. And the fact is that I think the pressure is on those other people because their predictions of a mass exodus against Jordan haven't come to fruition. And the fact is that the vast majority of members have been sticking with Jordan since his original first speakership vote ballot, where he got 99 votes. He's moved more than double his way, right? Like, so on the first speakership ballot, he had 200 votes, and he had 202 on the second one. The fact is that we're in the end game here, right? Like, so, I think these people can be dealt with, and I think that they can be willed and deal with. And if they don't, then I think there needs to be serious consequences. That includes primary challenges. And I'm hearing that there are people announcing and running against many of these intransigents already. And then also, cut off of the NRCC funding to these people. The party should not be funding people who vote against the party. And then in addition to that, I'm also hearing, again, the losing of committee assignments, including chairmanships.
Let's play cut 143. Matt Gaetz is offering himself up on a platter. Play cut 143.
Have no goals, have no asks, have no objectives other than to see the eight of us suffer some consequence for having removed McCarthy. So we've made them an offer. The eight of us have said that we are willing to accept censure, sanction, suspension, removal from the Republican conference. We, of course, will remain Republicans. We will continue to vote with Republicans on Republican principles. But if what these holdouts need is a pound of our flesh, we're willing to give it to them in order to see them elect Jim Jordan for speaker.
I want you guys to pause right there. This is strategically smart by Matt Gaetz. He's basically saying, what else do you guys want? We're willing to have censure and removal from the conference. Here you go, guys. You want revenge. I'm giving it to you. They have no asks. This is sophomoric, and we're going to keep on naming the names. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Matt, what do you think about Matt Gaetz' offer? I mean, it seems as if nothing else, it puts the PR pressure on the other side. What else do these 25 want? You want them to be punished? Fine. They will punish themselves. Matt Boyle.
Right. Yeah. And this is the point, is that I think what Gaetz is doing here is actually a really smart move. And frankly, there was an interesting thing that insiders were tracking where Jim Jordan had a notepad when he was walking into or out of his meeting with the holdouts the other day. And on it, he had handwritten, what's the real reason? Right. Like, and because none of them are giving a real reason. Right. Like, the reasons that they say are all lies publicly. It's all just political gamesmanship. So he's trying to figure out what's the real reason. Look, people are mad at Matt Gaetz, and they're mad at the rest of the eight who did this in the first place. And I genuinely agree with them. I disagreed with Matt Gaetz's decision to oust McCarthy. I thought McCarthy was doing about as good as he could do. There's certain things I would disagree with and agree with, and you know, it is what it is. But the fact is, we are where we are today. And so I do think it's a smart move by Congressman Gaetz and the other members of that. It's worth noting that one of those original eight, Ken Buck, is also against Jordan. And so when he said that his signature is on that letter by accident. So we'll see how this shakes out. But if that's what they need to be able to get there and vote for Jordan, and you know, they punish the other ones who did this, then fine, right? Like, and you know, but the fact is that if Jordan doesn't end up as the speaker here, look, there's two pathways here. Jim Jordan becomes the Speaker of the House, or there is going to be a massive civil war inside the Republican Party where nobody is safe. And frankly, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing.
I think the war is already here, Matt. But explain to me Ken Buck. What is wrong with this guy? I mean, what?
I think Ken Buck wants to work at CNN. It's pretty clear, right? Like, I mean, he was interviewing for jobs at CNN very recently.
Yeah, and so he's willing to throw away his constituents and his country. I mean, is he a compromised congressman?
Yes. And by the way, we've done plenty of stories on Ken Buck over the years. He's offered a variety of different proposals that would harm conservative media. We've exposed a lot of that stuff over the years. And he's taken money from all sorts of different special interests, from media interests, et cetera. This is a guy who has been on the wrong side of things for a long time. And the ultimate irony is just a few years ago, the guy literally wrote a book titled Train the Swamp. Well, he's become the swamp. So, and that's what happens with a lot of these people. When they get to Washington, they're there too long. They get compromised. Now, there's good ones who've been there for a long time. Jim Jordan's been there for longer than Ken Buck, and he's a great guy, right? Like, so just kind of depends with different ones. But the fact is that Ken Buck is a really awful person.
Yeah. So, and these 25, if you were to break it apart, some of them are doing it out of revenge, some of ideological. And so this is going to keep on going. So your strategy would say, Jordan, just keep on calling votes. Is that right?
I don't think Jordan should back down one bit. He should call their bluff because nobody else can get there. And Jordan should keep going and keep trying to work on it. And no matter how long it takes, if it takes another month, if it takes another 6 months, I don't care how long it takes. Jim Jordan should never back out of this race. And what he should do is call their bluff. Their only way out is they need to vote for Jordan and find a way to get there, or they need to go make a deal with the Democrats. And either way, I think it's good for the country because you're going to see, I mean, look, a deal with the Democrats bad for the country, but at least good for the movement in that we're going to expose these people for what they really are, right? Like, and these big government, big spending establishment rhino Republicans, right? Like, so the fact is that Jordan should never, ever back down.
Yeah. And if he were, Bowtie Man would be losing the House, right? So, Matt, what you're saying is a little risky, though. I just want to put you on, play devil's advocate for a minute. You say even if they side with Democrats, you think that's a good thing? I mean, that would be effectively losing our House majority.
Yes, but the fact is that I think it would expose these people for what they really are. And I think that that would offer the opportunity for the voters of the country across the country to vote in new ones, right? Like, look, we're at a point here where we're almost kind of back at square one where we were a decade plus ago when my colleague Peter Schweitzer came out with Throw Them All Out. It's time to throw them all out, right? Like, look, they're all bad, right? Like, what's the difference at this point between an establishment Republican and a Democrat? Is there one?
The only difference I would say, Matt, is committees and electoral college abolition, D.C., Puerto Rico estates, and HR1. And I hear you. I like the spirit of throwing them all out. I just don't know if handing the House to the Democrats is wise. And I know that's not what you're saying, but you're daring them, right? That's what you're basically saying is you're daring them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would dare them, and I think Jordan should do the same thing. He should never back out of this.
Well, and
race.
I think what you're saying is it's risky but smart, Matt. Basically, you're saying we'll not be held hostage by this, right? We're going to do the right thing, and we're not going to be held hostage by you siding with Democrats. Matt Boyle, we have to go. Thanks so much. Breitbart.com. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out the Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Joining us now is Senator Josh Hawley. Senator, thank you for taking the time. I was in your hometown yesterday doing an event in Springfield, Missouri. We packed it out, and I got to tell you, they love the work you're doing, Senator. So big approval back in your home state of Missouri.
Well, I'm so glad you were there. Come anytime, Charlie, anytime.
It is great people. I got to tell you, the protests were pathetic, which shows how great your state is. The opposition was very lackluster. So let's talk about first Joe Biden's $100 billion ask. He is now saying that he wants $100 billion from Congress to support the security needs of Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the U.S. southern border. He wants $61 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, $2 billion for Taiwan, $9 billion for humanitarian assistance, $6 billion for border operations, $1.2 billion for fentanyl. Now, let's not be tricked. What he means by border operations is probably not border security, but probably paperwork processing. Senator, what do you think about this?
No, I think it's a total joke. And, you know, here's one of the most outrageous things. He wants to send $1 billion or whatever it is over to Gaza to the Palestinian leadership, who are the ones who perpetrated these terrorist attacks against Israel and against American citizens when there are still American hostages, Charlie, being held as we speak, American hostages. And Joe Biden wants to pay these people. I mean, it's insane. Not a dime for Gaza until every single American hostage is released and safely home. And all the rest of it is a joke, too, or much of it. You know, the border stuff, what it's going to be is buy-offs to New York City and these other blue states and cities that now have illegal immigrants, because lo and behold, the border is open. And that's Joe Biden's fault.
So, Senator, have you been briefed in a skiff or otherwise? And obviously you don't have to tell us the date of it, but on the Israel intel failure or America's knowledge ahead of it, or have you kind of been flying blind? It's been 2 weeks. If America is going to send another $14 billion on top of $4 billion, the U.S. Senate, at the very least, should be aware of what's going on regionally and the other actors involved. Was Iran involved? Was Turkey involved? Have you been briefed, or do you largely feel as if you're being left out of the conversation?
We were briefed this past week in a classified setting, but I can tell you, Charlie, I didn't learn anything that you can't read in the newspapers. And basically, I think the administration has no particular plan here. Was Iran involved? We've all seen the reports that Iran is deeply involved. And what is absolutely 100% true, all of the weapons are coming from Iran. Who gave Iran $6 billion just a few weeks ago? Joe Biden. Right at the same time, Hamas, which is totally dependent on Iran, Hamas was planning these terrible attacks against Israel and against these Americans. 31 Americans killed, American hostages still being held in Gaza. And this administration wants to send more money to Gaza and already $6 billion to Iran. By the way, Charlie, they will not pledge to get the $6 billion back. I mean, it's unreal. Paying the terrorist country that now is sponsoring terrorism against Americans and Israelis, and they won't even get the money back. I mean, it is pathetic. It's failure on every level.
Yeah, and I'm afraid, Senator, that we're kind of barreling towards a regional conflict and regional war. And so in your discussion with your colleagues, what contrast this with kind of, or maybe not just contrast it, but compare it to kind of the zeal to help go against Russia. Is there at least some concern amongst some of the old bulls in the Senate that we don't want this to kind of boil over? Because some of your colleagues, not to name any names, have been saying we have to potentially bomb Iranian oil fields, things that I would consider to be rather geopolitically reckless here. What is the temperature amongst your colleagues when it comes to at least trying to contain this so that this does not become A, out of control, and B, require United States troops on the ground to solve it?
Well, let me just tell you where I am on it, Charlie. My view is, number one, our overriding priority has got to be to get the American hostages back. 31 Americans are dead. Americans are being held hostage in Gaza as we speak. We should be getting our people home. That ought to be priority number one for us. Number two, the Israelis do not want us to fight their war for them. You know, this is something that's very different than, say, Ukraine. What Israel wants is just let them do what they need to do to get Hamas out of the region, and hopefully to help us get the hostages back. So my view is, you know, all of this talk about, well, Israel needs X, Y, Z. You know, what Israel is asking for is just international support. It's for the United States just to say, let us go in and defend our own people, which they have every right to do. I would start right there. And all this talk about, you know, all the other stuff in the region, let's get focused on American hostages coming home and Israel's right to defend itself against these terrorists that are right on their doorstep. I think that is the right focus here. And, you know, I would just say, let's all the talk about, and now we're going to use this to fund Ukraine, $60 billion more to Ukraine. What does Ukraine have to do with it? Nothing. Let's focus on the main thing.
So there's a little bit of a mystery here, Senator. How many Americans are currently being held hostage by Hamas? And two were just recently released. What is the exact number?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if we know the answer to that. The administration might know, but I haven't heard of this. I'm told it's over a dozen, but I don't know the answer to that. And this is, I think, the huge question for Joe Biden. I mean, he just was over in Israel and parading around the fact that he's going to send all of this money, additional money, to Gaza. He's already sent hundreds of millions of taxpayer money. I want to be clear about this. It's American taxpayer money. It's your money that has gone to Gaza in the last 2.5 years. Inevitably, this has gone to the terrorists who have perpetrated these attacks. So his big thing was, we're going to send more money to them. And yet he has not secured the release of American hostages. Why would we ever send money to the Palestinian leadership? And why would we do it when they are holding our citizens currently? I just think it's insane.
Yeah. And so I just want, but what we're also doing is we're potentially incentivizing more hostage taking. So 20 or more Americans are missing. And I'll be very honest. I am not feeling as if Joe Biden and this government are that interested in getting these Americans back. But there's now a heightened what they call threat assessment, basically, for all Americans traveling internationally. And so there's anywhere between 9 to 13 hostages in Gaza, and we're sending more money. But Senator, wouldn't this also put American expats that are traveling across the globe in Berlin or in London, all of a sudden the price on their head goes up and we could be incentivizing more American hostage taking, Senator Josh Hawley?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, this is exactly the danger. It's a threat to Americans everywhere. And look what just happened with Iran. That was a hostage deal. Let's not forget. Joe Biden was buying off, or trying to, the terrorist regime in Iran by giving him $6 billion. And look how that worked out. I mean, you just are telegraphing to these people that the United States is not strong, that the United States is willing to roll over for terrorists. And now we have our own people being held by these terrorists in Gaza. And Joe Biden's solution is, let's give them some more money. Let's give them more stuff. My view is, let's not. Let's get home our people and protect our citizens in Gaza, in Israel, and around the world.
I want to shift gears here really quick and just get to another topic. Senator, you've done such an amazing job with cross-examining Biden officials. Let's play cut 144.
Do you attend events where people pay to see you
speak? Where people pay to attend the event.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's important for us to meet potential applicants, American innovators and entrepreneurs who want to scale up their technology.
Applicants for loan programs?
Applicants for DOE funding.
Wait a minute. You think it's a good idea to go to events where people are trying to get federal money and they're paying to see you?
They're not paying to see me.
I thought you just said you spoke at events where people paid.
Not to see me. I mean, I'm not that important.
Well, he's not that important, but he has a lot of power, Senator. That feels like pay for play, doesn't it? Tell us a little bit about this.
Totally. I mean, here you get an inner working into how this government actually operates, Charlie, where this guy couldn't believe the fact I would take issue with him going to industry insider events where people are paying to see him. He's the director of the loan program for the Department of Energy. He has the ability to disperse in his office hundreds of billions of dollars in loan programs, loans to these industry insiders, and they're paying to get an audience with him. And listen, industry groups that this guy previously founded have boasted they've got an inside track to get all kinds of loans from the federal government because they have a relationship with them, and they advertise if you join their group and pay the money, you can get an audience with him and you can get your loans. I mean, it is pay to play. It's outrageous. And he was genuinely perplexed that there would be anything wrong with this. I listened to my other colleagues in the Senate on that committee say, oh, well, this happens all the time.
Yeah, it's just run of the mill. We're selling out our government all the time. Come on, it's standard operating procedure. Senator, in closing here, we don't have time to play the tape, but just summarize your reaction to Charlie Baker, former Republican governor of Massachusetts, and his unwillingness to be clear about men in men's sports and female in female NCAA sports. Your reaction?
Just pathetic. This should not be hard. Men should not be playing in women's sports, and men should not be in women's locker rooms. The NCAA forced female athletes to have men in their locker rooms. Then they basically lied about it. Now they won't admit they're wrong. They should apologize to all the female athletes. They should stop putting men in women's locker rooms and men in women's sports. Easy.
I totally agree. Charlie Baker is failing as NCAA chair. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of problems come the NCAA's way. And it's not just the NIL thing. The NCAA is a corrupt organization, and it impacts every single senator. Should be a bipartisan thing when you have men going into female locker rooms. It will be the destruction of women's sports as we know it. Senator, thank you for your leadership and your time. Come back very soon. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-492-5454 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. When I called college a scam, people said, oh, come on. Because, you know, there's a built-in attachment. People say, our institutions are still strong. Let me introduce you to Gemma DeCristo. Gemma DeCristo is a professor of American Studies and undergraduate faculty advisor at University of California, Davis. She tweeted, quote, one group of people we have easy access to in the United States is all these Zionist journalists who spread propaganda and misinformation. By the way, she misspelled misinformation hilariously. Missy information. She's a moron. They have houses with addresses and kids in school. They can fear their bosses, but they should fear us more. Knife, axe, blood, blood, blood. Threatening to kill Jews and Zionist journalists. She is a professor of the next generation at University of California, Davis. Columbia professor came out and said, quote, it was awesome, the terror attacks in Israel. Joseph Massad, a professor at Modern Arab Politics and Intellectual History at Columbia University, wrote in an article right after the attacks that it was astounding and incredible, and it was a, quote, stunning victory. Joseph Massad says that it's a stunning victory of this. Play cut 28. This is what your professors in this nation believe. Play cut 28.
I spent the day at Kibbutz Be'eri, which is one of the civilian communities that was targeted in the massacre just last weekend. And the sights there are extremely harrowing. There are homes that have been completely shattered, that have been blackened by Hamas terrorists who set them on fire in order to murder the families inside. And when they pulled the rubble apart, they found the bodies of 8 small children who had been tied to one another and shot. They also found the bodies of a couple who were embracing when they died. It was an extremely difficult thing. I've never seen anything like this before. And
Professor at Columbia thinks that it was, quote, awesome, astounding, incredible, and a stunning victory. Yale faculty member Zarina Greewall. Prayers for Palestinians. Israeli is a murderous, genocidal settler state, and Palestinians have every right to resist through armed struggle, solidarity, the day of the massacre. Meet Amir Hassan Loggins, a Stanford instructor who told Jewish kids to stand in a corner while belittling the Holocaust and calling them colonizers. He is a professor at Stanford University. He worked at Harvard's Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice. And it shouldn't shock you that a black studies organization hires a man who spent his entire career pointing racist, and then he responds to a terror attack calling racist to go put Jews in their own corner. Meet Nina Farina, a professor at the University of Albany. Long live the Palestinian resistance, she said on the day of the attack. And people of Gaza tearing down the walls and colonialism and apartheid. As the Biden admin builds more walls at U.S. borders, the people of the world are rising up and tearing walls down. The Palestinians are a beacon for us all. Meet Cornell professor Russell Rickford speaking about the terrorist attacks. Now, this video is a little hard to understand. I'll transcribe it in a second, but listen to it. Play cut 148.
The targeting of civilians, as do you, as do I, who were able to breathe.
They were able to breathe. It was exhilarating. It was exhilarating. It was energizing. And if they weren't exhilarated by this challenge to the monopoly of violence, by this shifting of the balance of power, then they would not be human. I was exhilarated.
He's talking about how exhilarated he was when he found out that babies were being murdered by Muslims. Not taking out of context. University of Washington professor of Middle Eastern dance participated in a pro-Hamas protest. Yes, at University of Washington, they have a studies called Middle Eastern dance. She said, quote, "We must sacrifice our soul and our blood for Palestine," in Arabic. Her name is Christine Sahin. These are just a few examples of many of who is teaching your kids, who many Republicans donate to these universities. They give tons, massive gifts to allow these sort of evil people to teach your grandkids. That's who's in charge. That is college in America. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is another story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.